Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Thursday Spurs Day podcast, 25th of January, 2024. Hello, Phil. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. We live in the future, don't we?
We do.
The futuristic landscape that is 2024.
What is it like? I mean, really, philosophy would dictate that the past nor the future actually exist. All that we have is here and now, the present.
Yeah.
But then some scientists actually suggest that we're living like 2 seconds in the past and that we just completely exist on rails. So somewhere there's a higher purpose to this podcast. Somebody has deigned that we should sit down on a Thursday, every Thursday, and bulletin Tottenham Hotspur news. I mean, that makes this feel all the more important, doesn't it?
Yeah. And in many ways, you know, it's a question of free will, right? Did we choose to do this or were we always going to do this because of our life experiences up until this point?
Is the divine puppeteer a massive koi zed, you know?
Well, he needs to pull his finger out if he is.
Yeah, he does.
Or she is.
Yeah. Or they are.
Yeah.
You know? Even Perisic has been so desperate to get out of Tottenham Hotspur that he's joined Hajduk Split for €20 a week. I know people are going to talk about it being a fairy tale narrative returning to his boyhood club, blah, 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 blah. But all I care about is Tottenham Hotspur. And it's quite disappointing to not have him for the rest of the season if he's able to play, isn't it?
I thought he was going there. I thought it was like some deal that basically got him off our wage bill, but he still gets paid. I mean, is he actually playing there? I thought he was going there basically still injured and it was just like a, you know, golden handshake kind of thing.
Oh, is it?
There was some element of, there was some element of insurance on his injury that meant we didn't have to pay something. I don't know. But yeah.
190 grand a week, apparently, he was on. One of our highest earners.
It's quite a lot, isn't it? It's quite a lot. As much as you're like, oh, he was all right, wasn't he? I mean, he put in a few good crosses, got a few assists to his name, wasn't really suited at his age to the Premier League. Could have been good for Ange. That doesn't add up to like 170 odd grand a week, does it? So
it's just shy, yeah. Just shy, really, of a mil a month, you know? A lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't mind it, actually. I'd probably eat myself into oblivion.
within two weeks. Spots you see Instagrammers going to and stuff.
Yeah. And just like eat half of everything and then collapse. And then have to be carted away and then just do it again the next day. I don't know what else I'd do. I don't know what my ceiling is. That's the problem. I think that is my ceiling, just going eating food, consuming.
Isn't that all of our ceilings, really, when you boil it down?
That's all I'm here for. Talking about free will. There's no free will. I'm just here to spend my money and eat things. God, this has gone. Talking of being on the rails, this is well off a minute.
Yeah, but it's all right, though. You know, it's been a quiet week. Been a quiet week, but look, in real terms, even Perisic, it's a bit of a what could have been with him, right? You feel like he would have come in very handy in a few games, 70 odd minutes onwards, whip a few crosses into the box for Richarlison and the like. It doesn't really serve us to lament something that, you know, wasn't, but at the same time, we're Spurs fans, and that's pretty much our existence, isn't it? So
yeah, and again, we could have used him, and he would have maybe turned some of those losses into draws or even wins. in that period. So in that sense, yeah, we did miss him, but yeah, I'm not going to remonstrate too much over it. It was what it was. Got injured, couldn't use him. Off he pops.
Madders is back though. That's some very good news. We've seen all the social media posts and such from the club. There's no secret here like there was with Bentancur.
Yeah.
And I feel that personally, because I saw one lad, I can't remember what his name is now. He's quite a big Twitter user, blogger. I'm going to look it up now because I don't want people to think I'm having a dig or anything. I'm not like doing a peacocking. Oh, I can't remember his name.
He's not important enough for me to remember his name. That's
Matt
lovely,
Hayes.
That is, Jack.
At Matt yeah. Hayes, THFC, said, it makes me think he's not starting. Why would they stay so quiet on Bentancur but milk this? And I was just sort of saying to him, because I think Madders is a really like, it's a big kind of fuck you, try and stop him type player. It brings different energy to the game as opposed to being like, well, we got Bentancur back, so you have to try and figure out how to play around him or exploit him if he's half fit and everything like that.
Exactly, yeah.
When you drop in Madders in there, that gives something City something to worry about. I think there's a very different energy going into the fixture in terms of hyping a Madders return and a Bentancur return, essentially, is my point, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it might come down to fitness as well, whereas Bentancur, you know, as we know, he was like desperate to sort of play and making himself available when we were in a sticky patch. He hasn't looked like 100% fit. Maybe Madders is closer to full fitness, so that's why he's like, you know, he's been announced in this way. But yeah, great. We've sorely missed him, haven't we? I mean, we've kind of made do in some regard, but he's coming back at the perfect time, right? I think Gio's still out, right? And a huge boost for us going into this sort of difficult game, which could, you know, could be quite a bit of a season defining game in some regards, right?
I think so, mate. Let's just talk about it now, because I had it in the running order to sort of do towards the end of the pod. But I mean, this is huge, and it would be absolutely grand, really, if our hoodoo, which I think really now has to be the weirdest hoodoo in world football. Please point out if there's another one for me. But Tottenham Hotspur, who are a walking kind of hoodoo unto themselves, managed to have one over one of the best football teams of all time, so much so that I believe they've played 5 games now at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and haven't even scored a goal, let alone won a game or got a point there, I want to say. I think we've beaten them every time we've played them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always, you know, it's lovely. It's lovely memories, all well and good doing it in kind of random league games, but it is games like this where it would be especially good to do it, right? You know, because we kind of have had a laugh at City. Yeah, we always beat them, but last time we played them in a cup final, we didn't. And, you know, that's the kind of time it would be nice to do it. And now's the kind of time it would be nice to do it. And I think we will. I'm actually very positive going into this one. I do think we are very rent-free in their heads. I think this stadium is very rent-free in their heads. And as much as they look pretty effective, I don't think they look great this year. I think they look beatable. With somebody like Madders back playing alongside Bentancur, if he's playing, if we got Porro and Udogie both on it, somebody like Timo Werner could step up, be a hero. I don't know. I've got a very good feeling about this game. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm similar actually. I think that as much as there's quite a lot riding on it, as I said, in terms of it being a season defining game potentially, it is in some regard a bit of a free hit.
Yeah.
And we go in there with nothing to lose, is my point. It's free hit sounds a bit more dismissive, but we, you know, this doesn't have the whole kind of, well, if we lose to them, at least they kind of gain points on Arsenal or whatever, which is a very awful situation to be in, but a completely valid one. This isn't that. Obviously, this is, we need to or want to progress to the next round of the cup, and it's a winnable game. The whole City hoodoo thing, Son plays a key part in all of that, doesn't he? He always seems so sort of central to whatever we get one over on City. So it remains to be seen how we deal without him, because it's about being clinical in those big moments, and that's what, you know, Sonny is in spades, right? He is clinical. He's a big game player, probably our biggest game player that we've had over the last 10 years in many ways. And I include Kane in that. Son's the guy. So without him, we'll see how we do. But, you know, again, I'm confident that Haaland's not playing, is he? He's still out. Again, they've done all right without him. And obviously, they're going to go full strength, etc. So, it'll be a really good contest. It'll be a really good contest. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going. So, good. We'll see, won't we?
How do you feel about the Friday night fixtures, mate? Do you like it?
No, it kind of throws things out a bit, doesn't it? I mean, I suppose in this regard, it's probably good that we're playing them under the lights on a Friday night. Mm. That's probably going to help us.
I think there's going to be a big TIFO again as well.
Is there? Okay. So all those sorts of things are pretty good. Obviously, it's a home match, so we can't really complain about travelling or anything like that. It's weird. Friday night isn't a football day, is it? That's the thing. It feels like it's got an exhibition element to it. And it's a lot against Burnley. It threw my whole week out, like going to that game and then not knowing what I was doing for the weekend, or not, you know, being all over the place. So there's that element to it as well. I think in this regard, having an evening game, everyone would be sourced up coming to the end of the month, raring to go. So hopefully it's a positive.
You're going to be on the tins?
Don't know, mate. I don't know. Probably have a couple.
You're going with Mummery, aren't you? You'll be on the tins, let's be real.
Yeah, so if I'm going with Mummery, then I multiply that by him. So six or seven.
Just give you that look, you know.
It sort of depends what time I get there, actually, talking about, like, you know, it being a Friday night, obviously working and working late, and what time I can get down there. So all these things depend. I find, though, that if I have too many pints beforehand, I literally cannot see or understand what's going on. I'm sure that's true for a lot of people, but I've certainly noticed it in the last few years. I'm just like, I can't see. I can't make anyone out.
I can't grasp the game.
Yeah,
I'm getting older. Do you ever find, like, when you're on the road, when you're driving about, new LED headlights, and it's similar to the kind of floodlights in the stadium, new LED headlights. I'm always like, turn your eye beams off, and shouts like,
yeah.
Their headlights, Jack.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've got a new TV. I think it's like a QLED or something, and have the sort of brightness up quite high, or it is quite a bright TV anyway. First couple of days I was watching it, it's like burning holes in my head. I've bought the wrong TV. I can't see.
It's the sort of thing you can imagine as a SpongeBob SquarePants still of his eyes, like, melting or something.
On fire, yeah.
Switching to the AFCON, Mali could potentially play Senegal on the 3rd of February if they both get through their second round ties. I believe Mali have Cote d'Ivoire, which could be, you know, I think it's a bit of a 50-50, that one, but... essentially, the point is that we'll hopefully get Sarr or Bissouma back shortly after that point. I'm not going to lie, I would much rather we get Sarr back ASAP.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But either one of them will be a welcome addition back to the team. We don't know what. I mean, it's not just to dig at Bissouma. I really, really actually rate Bissouma, even if he has kind of fallen out of form before the AFCON a bit. But he has been sort of struck with illness, right, while he's been away in the tunnel. We don't know what impact that's going to have on him.
I mean, he played yesterday, didn't he? again, yeah, I mean, it was reported that he had malaria, and you think, oh, that sounds serious, as I'm sure it was, but, you know, he's been playing in the tournament, so it couldn't have been that bad. Again, speaking about someone I know absolutely nothing about, but yeah, like so Marley Pay, Cote d'Ivoire next, right? I can see Marley getting through that because Cote d'Ivoire haven't been very good at all. I think they've only just scraped through. So, yeah, as you say, comes down to that game between Mali and Senegal. Senegal, look, from what I've seen of it, I mean, I've watched bits and pieces of it like most people have. And from what I've seen, Senegal seem like the best team in it. I mean, I know that they're probably the favourites anyway, but they seem by far and away the best team in it. So, or certainly one of the best teams in it. So I kind of expect them to go all the way. So I think we have to make do without Sarr for a little while.
What was my point? Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about the fact that Spurs are the biggest team in London now. Overtaking Chelsea, overtaking Arsenal. It's the most profitable footballing team in London. Number 8 on the... Is it Deloitte? Do you call it Deloitte? Deloitte? What is it?
Deloitte.
Deloitte. Oh, that was a Deloitte. Do you know what I mean? It sounds a bit like, doesn't it? How was dinner, darling? Oh, it was a Deloitte.
It was Deloitteful.
Am I... we sort of touched on this last week, but I'm going to say it in much more crude and condensed a fashion. As much as he's annoyed me over the past years, and as much as we've played a very, very, very long game, are we going to have to concede that that little bald bastard this whole time might have been playing an absolute blinder?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, credit where it's due. I think it'd be churlish to kind of argue otherwise on it. I don't know if this is some sort of master plan. I think I said it last week. I don't know if this is kind of he's purposely kind of set the club out in this way to, at this point, take advantage of it. I don't know. I think the FFP has just come along at a sort of a good time for us, which, again, you make your own luck in that regard, right? I mean, we've been well-run and kind of working within the rules, well, most rules, if you ignore Paratici and all that sort of thing, and Joe Lewis getting done for insider trading. Look, we're in a good position now, and... I think it would be a bit revisionist to kind of start going, this has always been Levy's plan, so you all you purple and gold lot should shut up. This is what he was playing towards. I don't think, as I say, I think it is kind of, he's known that he has, that the football club has to be sustainable, and he hasn't wanted, he's chosen not to operate, run the club like other chairmen do run their clubs and get them, you know, like Everton and whomever, and spend loads of money. It sounds like I'm trying not to give him credit. I mean, credit where it's due. He's got us into a position now where suddenly we seem like a bit of a, powerhouse, right? We seem like we're suddenly in a very strong position. I was thinking the other day about how, you know, we're one of the only teams, I think we certainly were when we signed Dracus in, that we were the only team to spend money. I don't think that's the case now, but and I was thinking, oh, well, maybe it is all falling into place, and then kind of forgetting that, oh, we did actually just sell Harry Kane for 100 million at the end of the window last year, so you know, that might be sort of inflating this idea that suddenly Spurs are in a massively strong position, that, you know, we can now sort of bully other clubs and do what we want in the transfer market where other teams can't. His plan was always to make us profitable. It really does now need to start showing on the pitch, right? It's all good and well watching good football, but we need to start winning things. Otherwise, again, it's profit for whose benefit. Certainly not ours, the fans, and the profit comes from us a lot of the time. So, I feel like I was being really unfair there, but I think you know the point I'm trying to make.
I do. You just want to piss on the parade, don't you, mate? That's me trying to be all happy about it.
By hook or by crook, we're in a strong position. That's the thing. We now have to capitalise on it. If we just kind of float along and don't sort of But again, I think that we've changed our approach, right? We've changed how we scout. We've changed how we attract players. We don't need to spend 60, 70, 80 million on players. And I don't think I ever really want to see us doing that, to be honest. I'd much rather us, you know, I'll say this in hindsight, I'd much rather us be signing players like Vicario and Udogi and Van de Ven, you know, to name but a few, because they've all turned out brilliant. So there's no need. And again, that has come with not a hell of a lot of outlay, really. Just good scouting, which is something I think we've missed over Levy's tenure, to be fair.
I mean, the mad thing about those three names that you've just listed there is that had we spent upwards of 60 mil on any of those players, if you imagine what Liverpool spent on Van Dijk and Alisson, I think it was about 60 and 75 mil respectively, I think.
Yeah.
If you just spent those sort of figures on any of those three players that you'd listed, you would feel that you'd got good value for money with the sort of performances they're putting in. So the fact that we signed them all for, I mean, I think Van de Ven was the most expensive of them, wasn't he? About 40 mil.
If that, I think. Yeah, but yeah.
A doggy, yeah, so. I think, was just beneath about 30 mil, wasn't he?
Again, if that, I don't think he was even that expensive. Really?
Vicario, yeah. 17, I want to say.
Yeah, absolute steal.
It's just unbelievable. If we'd have paid 50 mil for Vicario, you would feel like we'd got him cheap with how good he's been, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. That's what I think we've all really wanted from the club to, you know, if a team like Brighton can do it, and, you know, and Leicester, you know, when they've signed players like Kante and Mahrez, when they, you know, they signed Mahrez for like 400 grand or something.
Yeah.
And the point is, these players are out there. So you just kind of have to look. And as much as, you know, David Pleat signed Dele Alli for us or scouted Dele Alli, in modern times, we had David Pleat wandering around scouting. Again, that's not to kind of criticise him, but it's not a modern approach to the game. You know, you need the kind of the far-reaching network of scouts and data and all that sort of thing to be able to identify players that you can get for cheap and you don't have to break the bank, and therefore they're much less of a risk. So, yeah, good position to be in.
Is he still alive, David Pleat?
Yeah, I saw him at the Spurs Man United game. He was sitting behind Sir Jim Ratcliffe, the incredible Sir Jim Ratcliffe, which Sky seemed to be.
Yeah, that was weird,
over.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was just really, really kind of strange. But anyway, yeah, I spotted him kind of sitting behind Alex Ferguson. So,
yeah, 79 years old. I don't know. I just was wondering if it was one of those things. If I'd, you know, because the past few years, like lockdown and all this type of thing, and there's been like a spate of deaths and things along the way. It was one of those where I was like, Did that happen? Did he die at some point in the past few years? But no, still alive and well. Mispronouncing footballers' names, no doubt. But good on him. Good on him. So I think that brings this week's Thursday Spurs Day podcast to an end, mate. Just want to, I guess, end where we, not started, but kind of hit around the midpoint with Manchester City. In closing, we're going to beat them, aren't we, mate? Score prediction?
I think it's going to be something like 3-2 Spurs.
Oof, you think we're going to concede then?
Yeah, I think we're going to concede. You know, that's one of those stats where the longer they go on, the more likely they are to. They're just aberrations, and then, you know, that's why that people draw attention to them. So I think we concede, but I think we keep going. I think we keep going to the end, and I think that, you know, as we say, we can score goals against City. So, yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen how up for it City are. Right, I think that they probably want to win the. I mean, I'm sure they want to win the treble again, but it's whether they've got the appetite for it.
Mate,
the FA Cup might be the thing.
I was talking to Joe about this the other day, and that's what makes them, right? They do have an appetite for all of it, don't they? All the time, always.
They just hate losing. They hate the concept of losing. And yeah, that's why they win all the time. It's quite simple, isn't it? That's what Pep's instilled in them to keep winning.
I feel like Ange is doing that to us. I feel like it's kind of mad. I just keep having these thoughts that, like, this is potentially, like, this is our, like, Klopp. This is our Guardiola, you know? Klopp's probably the more, I think, likely comparison. to somebody that a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people did talk about Klopp beforehand, Borussia Dortmund, but there was always a bit of a, there was a bit of a sniffiness around him. I remember when Liverpool did sign him, people like, yeah, I don't know, big step up, big boots to fill at Liverpool, a lot of expectation there. Doing all right with Dortmund is not great. I mean, it is great. It's okay though, isn't it? Didn't leave them in the best state. And then look what they've gone on and done. And I don't know, there's just a whiff of that with Postecoglou of us, just how good we suddenly look already. And some of the talent in this squad. I mean, I know Manchester City exists, and that's always going to be, for as long as Guardiola's there, that's going to be one constant. It's just how good they are. But it's just quite mad to be in this place as a Spurs fan, I find, where I don't even feel like it's fanciful. I'm not even there like it was with Potter. I know he's at Chelsea now and all that type of thing, but I don't really want to take anything away from the time we had him. But it was always tinged with a bit of, please, can we do this? Please, can we do this? Do you know what I mean? Whereas with Postecoglou, I'm sort of feeling like, I think there's every chance we are going to do this. You know, I think we are going to be successful. I think we are going to win stuff. It just feels different. And I don't think it's all just down to the individuals. I think the club's in a completely different place now as well than it was during Pochettino.
It has, yeah. I think you and I did a podcast at the start of the season, or maybe just before the season started, when we were very sort of confused about the club, about what it was doing. Maybe just as we announced Ange, but before he started around then. And I think that you and I were both like listing off the problems with the club, you know, scouting being one of them, where's the money being another. Suddenly, for those things, I mean, if we go back and listen to it now, we'd probably be like, all our questions were answered, put it that way. And you're right about the Poch era and this one. In the Poch era, it felt like it was like, well, why not us? It's got to be us at some point, which is an intangible thing, right? This feels tangible. It doesn't feel tangible. There is tangibility to it, isn't there? You can see the players. You can see that we're signing decent players. You can see the talent we've got. You can see the results that we've made and the way that we play. It's all there in front of us. This is a reality this time.
Come on, you Spurs, eh?
Come on, you Spurs.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.